Welcome to the Authentically American Podcast, featuring inspiring stories from great Americans who are making a difference. Your host is West Point grad, former Army Ranger, and founder of Authentically American, Dean Wegner.
Welcome to the Authentically American Podcast. I am thrilled to be joined today by a renowned White House chef and internet sensation, my friend Andre Rush. Andre has been a chef to four different U.S. presidents and various high-ranking military officials for the last 20-plus years. But he has just recently made a name for himself, not with his food, but for his physique. A photo of Chef Rush taken on the White House lawn showcasing his 24-inch biceps went viral. And since then, Chef Rush has been using his newfound platform to put the spotlight on a number of worthy causes. Chef Rush has been doing 2,222 push-ups every day, and you'll love hearing about what keeps him inspired, and you won't want to miss this episode. Andre, my friend, thank you so much for joining us here today. And now, am I truly led to believe that you just got off the phone with the White House?
You led to believe. Yeah, I got a phone with a lot of people.
Well,
I talked to a lot of people.
Well, I can't even tell you how much I appreciate you joining me here today to go ahead and join us on the Authentically American Podcast and share your story. So I know it's been quite a whirlwind for you, especially the last year since we were first introduced. But take me all the way back to growing up here. So many times people's stories start when they were growing up as a young child.
Oh, wow. First, it's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the hospitality, as always. That's why I carve up any time for you. You're great. I grew up in the South, Mississippi, of course. Columbus is a really small town, and you're exactly right. It kind of starts off with there. My story starts off with my mother and father. My father being a worker, a hard worker, and kind of had that Southern mentality where the boys go to work and the girls go to school. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I could crawl, I went to work. I worked for a very long time, and I haven't stopped. So that was, back then I looked at it as a kid. I was like, oh man, everybody else is playing and I'm working. Now I appreciate it a million times more.
I can absolutely understand where you're coming from, and I'm sure your parents are incredibly proud of you and what all you've accomplished and how you're serving our great nation.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Andre, as I look back in our discussions, and you've had 20-plus years, an illustrious career as a chef, and take me back all the way to the beginning, because it sounds like you grew up as a big, strong kid, and then you joined the Army at the young age of 21 and started out personal security, and then you were protecting high-ranking officers, and then you transitioned over to the chef. So was that your vision, was to go more on the security side or the chef side, or was it really both?
It's kind of ambidextrous. I kind of used both as a conduit, but the chef side came from my mother.
Okay.
Back in Mississippi, where my mother, it was a big family, it was eight of us. She cooked around a table, and that's where everybody kind of was breaking bread, and I love to eat. and I love being my mother. I love my dad, but I love being my mother in that environment because the girls didn't cook. I was only one that, it was five girls, I'm sorry. We had five girls and three boys, and none of the girls cooked. And I used to just get on my mother, and that's if I can get some scraps. And later that kind of transition over in the military. I had a art scholarship, I had a track scholarship, I had a football scholarship, was extremely athletic, extremely strong. At age 13, I was benching, my first bench was 315, extremely fast, very fast, very strong, actually. It was people kind of assumed that I should go in a certain role, especially if you look a certain way and you're being a certain way and doing certain things. So when I actually went to the military and I decided, I wanted to cook. It was what made me happy. It was my happy space. And later on in life, I didn't realize how happy much of a happy space it would actually make me, you know, with all of the transitioning and the wars and 9/11. And I used it now as I've been using it, you know, cooking and cope with a lot of guys with PTSD, a lot of therapy, you know, social adaptment. I also transitioned over to the kids because I have the most enjoyable part about it is I get the guys who are these big, strong guys who never cooked before, you know, all of a sudden cooking for their families and coming together with their kids and using it as a coping tool, a therapy, and saying they're sorry to their wives or their girlfriends or so forth because they just assume that they're supposed to cook or supposed to do that. And look at me as a guy, and I'm like, you know, they start crying like, I'm sorry, I should have cooked for you a long time ago. I said, well, cook now. But yeah, it's a whole schematics to it. But I love it. I love what I do.
Absolutely. And you are a big, big man, Andre. Now, did your dad have that size, and your brothers have your size as well?
My dad was he did construction for 50 years.
Wow.
Hard construction, literally 50 years. and I'm not gonna lie to you, I could never do what he did. Yeah. In 50 years, you know, back then when they didn't have all the machinery that they had today. And I remember going on some of the jobs and picking up things, and it's a different type of work ethics, different type of labor, of course I did it. And I think that's what built me up to where I am now, you know, where I can do 2,222 pushups in, you know, an hour, 15 minutes, or where I can bench press 700 pounds. And people didn't understand it. They're like, well, what are you doing? What are you taking? I'm like, no, that's work. That's what we do. It's nothing special. We were just raised and born that way. And my dad, he was just a very muscular, just a very, you know, his body types, you know, ectomesomorph, just straight up, and just kind of carried over.
Well, Andre, it's easy to see now where you get your work ethic from, because if he was doing that for 50 years, that was before the nail gun was out. That was before many, you know, the advancements today in technology and building were there. So it's easy to see if he spent 50 years where you get that work ethic from.
Exactly.
So tell me this as well, because you were big, you were strong, you were a football player, you were a track star. I mean, you could have gone a lot of different directions. So what was it that said, you know what, I'm going to serve my country?
You know, that's exactly how it happened. Mm-hmm. My brother, there's a big difference between my brothers and I. My younger sister, who's a colonel in the Air Force in San Antonio, and I hold no grudge against her. I love the Air Force.
Right.
And my brother, who actually was a Navy officer, who retired a few years ago, he was probably like 10 plus years older. So when I was young, he was already in the Navy and doing his thing to serve the country. And my other brother had served in the Job Corps, Peace Corps. And so that was a whole nother type of thing, me seeing them and what they were doing to give back. And when I got a chance to go to the Olympics, and when I got a chance to, you know, do my scholarships, and I would just believe, you know what, I wanted something bigger and better and greater. Mm-hmm. Not saying that anything that I was doing wasn't bigger, better, and greater, but it was just embedded in me, you know, from my mother, how she always talked about sharing and giving and caring. You know, taking, you know, the homeless off the streets and showing me at a very young age that no matter how a person looks or where they come from, that you should always support them. And then looking at my brothers, all my sisters are educators, you know, special education. My other sister, she, you know, helped the blind. She did that for over 20 plus years, reading Braille and teaching them how to incorporate with life. And unbeknownst to me, it just, like I said, again, it was just embedded. And when I decided to join the military, the Army, I told no one. And of course, the Marines and the Army kind of followed me a little bit. The Navy, you know, gave me the college options and this and that. The Air Force is like, hey, you know, what do you want to do? Right. And I just joined the Army without telling anyone. My brother's like, how come you didn't tell me? Because I knew he was going to try to weigh me over to make a decision to go into the Navy. And I just said, I wanted to do this on my own. So that's what I did. And the first day I went to basic training, an exec first day I went to AIT, I got this exact same things. Drill sergeants came up to me. I'm a little guy from Mississippi. You know, now I have all these demographics around me of people, places, races, and all these other things and religions. Had no idea. And he said to me, Private Rush, looked at me in front of all these 100-plus guys, and now he said, can you whoop any one of these guys' butts? I said, Roger. Yes, drill sergeant. He said, you're in charge. And I didn't even look at around. I was like, I don't know, but I knew it. But that kind of started off my whole career, and it's been a whirlwind blessing of a career.
Well, Andre, it sounds like that was one of those core values around service that was instilled not only in you, but your brothers and sisters, and just love that focus as a family. So one of the things you and I have in common is not only serving in the Army, but having gone through Ranger School. You got it. And I didn't often at times have the best memories of the cuisine in the Army. I remember MREs and them just slopping food, and I think that was part of the hazing process. But give me a peek into what culinary training was like in the Army.
So, I, of course, I work with the Rangers a lot. And, you know, it's a funny thing because my last trip before I went to Iraq, I actually got picked to, by name request to go Delta. And that was a really hard decision for me because I was in my downslope. And one of my generals at West Point, he was over and he asked me to come to Iraq with him. And I chose to go to Iraq because it was near and dear to my heart. But I mentioned that because you say the culinary and the military. So in Iraq, I was part of the team there where the C3, where I supported him with small team. We stayed up literally 24 hours, right. And he stayed up 24 hours. And going inside red zone moves, and we had a three-car convoy and doing the things. But anywhere I went, I would pick up stuff or go here, go there, and the general would let me make special meals for the small groups for one time. It then became a kind of like a tradition, you know, where I did it two or three times a week, you know, for whatever little entities that we had in our organizations that was there in Iraq. Maybe it was 10, maybe it was 12, maybe 16. I used to make these things where they thought that for some house that he brought some special chef in and did these things. And it was pretty amazing because the people got to see different things and play with profiles of out of things they thought could never be. And so that's the same thing it was with me. And you're right, food wasn't the best. It wasn't what I thought. Luckily, I kind of got grabbed early on and was introduced to real culinary, you know, on an ACF level where I could kind of explore. But otherwise, it was like, oh, my God. It was just I like to be creative. I like good food. Of course, I'm from the South, so anything had to make sense to me. I didn't like to just have people eat. And later on, it evolved to my health and fitness aspect of it, aesthetically, you know, with kinesiology, nutrition. And then that's what I got to teach on a bigger scale on not only how to eat good, but how to eat healthy and still feel good and still do what you need to do.
Start to see where it all comes together, back to that service foundation your family instilled in you and in loving to cook and bringing smiles to everyone else's faces. I'm sure I can just picture that small group and those traditions that you established. So, Andre, you went from cooking for the military, cooking for generals, which is amazing, but then you ended up cooking in the White House for presidents. So tell me about how that all came together.
So throughout my career, I went there back and forth. It does, people think that you can just go knock on a door, look on Craigslist or go and it doesn't happen that way. Nine times out of 99.99% of the time, you have to know someone. And also you have to have a very clean, squeaky record, because you do have to have a clearance, TSSCI or Yankee or with, you know, Polly and so forth. Lucky I've had those. I've had that for over 20 some years, knock on wood, with a squeaky record. So that says a lot of being itself. And one of my mentors, he tried me and he worked me, and he sold for maybe like a year. And after doing things with him for a year, he was much older than I was. He was Master Sergeant, I think, or late Master Sergeant. He had been in 20-some years, and I was a brand-new E5. And he trusted me enough to get me to the door to knock. So I knocked and was let in, and, you know, I said, hey, come on in. I stayed in for a while, a long while.
So not shy then about opening a door and see where it goes and knocking and see what opportunity happens.
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing about it is there, you know, it's different because it doesn't matter how great of a chef you are. Mm-hmm. If you don't have like the core values, if you're not a team player, if you're a lone sailor, if you're just someone that thinks that they're going to do things on their own and not be a group, because there's no place for showboating. There's no place. This is a well-tuned entity of the highest caliber precision, where everything has to go right. We don't have time, just like in the military, you don't have time for individuals. Everybody needs, everybody was needing like-hearted, like-minded, selfless service, you know, core values, integrity. You have to have all those things that's embedded. And a lot of people don't get to understand that. And they say, well, what makes the military different? It is different, just like civilian life is different. Just like anything, it's about a transition and just having a bigger picture and belonging.
Absolutely. So Andre, how many different presidents have you been the chef for?
So I've actually had the pleasure for the last three, four, theoretically, but back and forth, yes.
How many? So multiple presidents or just our current president?
Multiple.
Yeah. So I'm curious, Andre, I don't want to compromise national security, but what's some
Please
of the,
don't.
I'm just curious, what's some of the strangest, oddest requests you got? Like, okay, make this for me. And you're like, wow.
You know what? I don't know if it's strange or odd. No one had anything like strange or odd per se. Maybe to the point to where you're like, oh, wow, you're going to eat that? Or, you know, maybe if it's like fried food or, but no, nothing just like, and I, people kind of like think that when you become like the president or you become a, how just like with generals, you know, they kind of get everything they kind of want. And you'll think I use the word take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. But some of them, they've eaten all over the world in so many different places that sometimes they just want to come down and to their own homes or families and just have a nice burger or a nice piece of fish or a bologna sandwich. I don't know. You'll be surprised. But there's no like crazy things where someone wanted sous vide every day, caviar or something where it was this or that, or, you know, maybe a peanut butter jelly sandwich. You know, that's an odd request. But to me, I'll eat that in a whim.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about that, but that does make sense. They're traveling all around the world, eating these fine dining experiences, eating on fine china. It's probably like, you know what? Just give me a paper plate and a PB&J. Give me that comfort food.
And I have the time, a lot of those fine places has a lot of butter, a lot of oils, a lot of this, a lot of that. So you got to drink a lot of water to clear out your system.
I bet. So, Andre, you've been cooking in the White House since 1997, and relatively speaking, in obscurity, being a good and faithful soldier and doing your task. But then all of a sudden, a little over a year ago, a picture was taken of you. And that went viral. And it's been a chaotic world. So take me back to when that happened and walk me through that whole circumstance and how that happened.
So it's a pretty strenuous story, but long story short was that whole entire day wasn't supposed to happen. Nothing about it was supposed to happen. I just returned from my mother called in divine intervention, and that the process was in a 48-hour period. Long story short was my sister was in Germany and she was getting ready to leave. She'd been there 3 years, had been asking me to come over. For the last few months, I decided to, before she left Germany, went over. We went to Budapest, we went to Prague, we were in Germany, and our last place was France. Left France, came back here, White House called, said, do I want to come for the iftar? I said no at first. Then I said, I'll come. And that night I was looking for a uniform and I couldn't find anything. I got a million chef jackets. Everything was dirty. Uh-huh. But I had one chef jacket that had Chef Rush on it, which I never wear because it had Chef Rush on it. Because I don't like people calling me annoying, especially if you're going over there.
Right.
And iftar, I was outside with the guys, which never happens also, not a lot. And reporters were there because they were doing the press room is like by where we are. And one reporter, a couple reporters, but Kate Bennett, a CNN reporter, was talking to the guys, talking to me. I cut a beer off. President came down, and right before she went into the press room, she turned around and took a picture of me, and I didn't know it. And she went in. 15 minutes later, she walks out, and she walks up to me, and she says, looks in my eyes, she says, I'm going to make you famous. And I said, to her, I'm already famous. And I laughed. I was just being, you know, smart. But and she said, no. She said, no, look at your Twitter. And I said, I don't have Twitter. One of the guys didn't have Twitter. And by that time, they looked and they saw me, and it was hundreds of thousands of views.
Wow.
And comments. And I had no idea what Twitter was or how big or whatever. 15 minutes later, I went into the White House, and it kind of took over the White House with, you know, the presence of Twitter and what was going on. And right after that, I left, and TMZ called me up, asked me to do something for them, you know, do an interview. I said, no, I'm good. Because, you know, in my job, I've been doing this for a long time. You don't put yourself in the media. You don't, you know, give any things of the sort because you know how that story goes.
Oh, yeah.
But then something happened. I said, Anthony Bourdain, a chef, had committed suicide. Mm. So in my history that no one knew about was my situation with suicide. I have PTSD. One of my soldiers, which I talked about a lot, Wesley Durden, 24, 25, had committed suicide when I was at West Point and left. And I got him on a show called The Next Great Baker. And it had happened the day he called me when I was helping other soldiers. The next day, I got a phone call and let me know. They asked me to come do his eulogy. That what happened with Anthony Bourdain that no one knew about, nobody knows about, that I was in the exact same place that he was when I left France with my sister.
Oh, wow.
And that, as I do right now, gives me chill bumps because it said everything to me. And I immediately said, okay, this is something much bigger than just me and anybody, actually, because it's not about me. It's about having a foundation and bringing people together on whatever avenues or scale, you know. And immediately I did exactly that. And my mother, you know, she prayed over it and she said, you know, whatever. I said, whether this lasts for 5 minutes or for 5 days, I'm going to reach as many people and so many people, whatever many scales that I can as possible. You know, of course, you know, that was a monetary aspect of it where people came to me and said, hey, chef, do this. Hey, chef, do that. I said no. I said no the entire time to this very day.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's about something bigger and better, and it's about leaving something behind, and not even a legacy, but that integrity that goes in you, that's embedded to you in the military. And I'm fortunate, and I'm to say that I have helped, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of people, you know, that give me DMs or messages and just say thank you. And then the kids are involved as well, where if you see me doing it with them. So it is unimaginable to be able to help so many on such a huge magnitude of a scale.
Well, Andre, you mentioned goosebumps. You're giving me goosebumps.
Yeah. Well, that's impressive. I'm giving you goosebumps.
I mean,
you give me goosebumps.
I mean, hearing the story, thinking back when we were introduced a year ago, and had a discussion, and just knowing you being a man of faith, a man that loves your family, loves your country, want to serve others, and just to know, you know, where your heart is and the platform you have now to serve and impact others. It's an incredible story.
Thank you.
So I'm curious, the reporter that said, I'm going to make you famous, what was the caption that was there with that photo? Do you remember what that was?
When she talked about, with me and Twitter?
Yes, I was curious. What?
So the funny thing of it was, everybody forgot about that caption, but the very next day, it's called Barstool. Barstool came out with their own caption. Remember, this is the time that we had the thing that was going on with North Korea.
Yeah.
And Barstool sent a picture of me, and the caption said, this was the one that really ticked everything off. The caption said, North Korea, we have nuclear weapons. And then it said, White House, we have Chef Rush. And then there was a picture of me.
I had not known that story. That's fantastic.
That was the big caption of it. Everybody kind of put up a lot of memes, you know, and then it became like a meme thing, kind of like the Chuck Norris. You know, what would Chef Rush do? Or I'll break you, or better eat this, better do that, which is fun. And then that's the thing about it. I love being fun. I love being whimsical. I tell people 99.9% of the time I'm serious as hell, but that 0.1% of the time I want to laugh my butt off.
Oh yeah,
you know, and that's why I on social. I'm funny. I'm serious. I'm this because my audience is so diverse, which I'm extremely blessed about. From teachers to women to kids to the military to health and fitness to nutrition to, I mean, so many different things that I never thought.
Fantastic. So, Andre, do you have any tips for me or the rest of us? Because here you are, I have 24-inch biceps, you bench 700 pounds, you're just a phenomenal, healthy, physical specimen. So what's the secret behind not only being strong, but being healthy and eating well?
Drink water. You know, the funny part about that is that, you know, people ask me questions all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being this influencer, being his role model now, you know, the main thing, which is my cough because I've been traveling so much on all these planes, is that you have an obligation to serve. You know, I put into perspective is that, you know, treat everyone like you treat your kids.
Right.
You know, because everybody says, you know, my kids are the dearest thing in life to me and so forth. And I kind of go into that whole principle that treat everyone that way. Not even yourself, but sometimes you can treat yourself bad. You know, you have to be, I give you the three, mentally, and then you have to be, you are what you eat. You know, is a true statement. Because food can make you feel great or it can make you feel terrible. And then also you put in a physical fitness aspect of it. Would you have a perfect combination? You know, people ask me, isn't this difficult? I mean, of course it's difficult. I mean, as I can go out and I can jump out of a building with a baby in my hand and roll off and then stop a nuclear weapon from going off, and I'm still going to be criticized.
Yeah.
I know that already. It's happened already. Mm-hmm. And people try to, you know, and I tell people, whether it be in the military, especially kids, you know, I thrive off of positivity. But negativity, I thrive off even more, right? And that's the way that I combat a lot of things, right? Because that negativity drives me 1,000 times more than that positive thing. So your negative comments make me stronger. Your positive comments make me stronger. So it's a win-win for all around. So I tell people it's not that serious. Just relax and live one day at a time. You don't have time to fight and argue and so forth. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm a pretty aggressive guy, you know. And if I can kind of control myself in every aspect, every way, you know, I know that the average person can. But like I said, you know, and I tell people that the person to your left of you or the right of you, they're not always going to be there. And they're not going to always be on your corner. They're not always going to be your friend. Right. And I tell it to the kids a lot. I said, because they're not going to be like-minded or like-hearted, you know. And me now, I have to have my circle of surround like-hearted and like-minded people 100%. Not meaning I'm getting rid of my friends. I'm still going to be there for them or whatever. But if we're not on the same paths, we can't take the same road.
You got it. Well, Andre, I know your heart and your spirit and what you want to do and the impact you have in a positive way. And it reminds me of one of those sayings that no good deed goes unpunished. And you're doing a lot of amazing good deeds. So speaking of one of those, I think back to my days in the Army and doing the PT test and getting over 100 push-ups and feeling proud of myself because I maxed it out. And I was proud of 100. Now, how many push-ups are you doing a day?
2,222.
So tell us the magic behind that number and why you're doing that.
So I do 2,222. I do them every day except for Saturday and Sunday. Those are my eat days, my real big eat days. And I do them for 22 a day. 22 a day is 22 veterans commit suicide a day. Mm-hmm. And they say, why do you do 2,222? Because I'm extreme. Because I can. Right. Because that's the way I'm built. You know, I don't have to do 2,000, but if someone does 22 and I do 2,222 right beside them, you're going to look at me. You're going to look at me a lot longer, and I'm going to catch your attention a lot longer. That's what people kind of, that's how we're programmed, you know, to look at a building blow up, right? And not saying that, but the thing about it is that 2,222 is not part of my workout. It's part of my cause. So every rep, every second is for someone. I do that for suicide awareness prevention, but when I talk to the kids, I use the terminologies bullying and cyberbullying, and, you know, because they like to see the big guy, and I'll put him on my back, and I'll do 1,000 push-ups with him, and, you know, I just did the $22,000 push-ups with a report on my back, you know, for, you know, the Fisher House Foundation, yeah. Which, you know, if that's things that's going to give a monetary or a social cause and meaning to something that brings to life and fruition, then of course I'm going to do that and I'm going to support it. But the 22 is near to me because it goes a lot deeper, even past the suicide prevention awareness. And I tell people that, you know, this is health and fitness month. You know, I did this campaign where, you know, push-ups around the world, where it doesn't have to be about suicide awareness prevention. It could be from, you know, cancer, leukemia, you know, AS. It could be anything of your choice. You know, you're pushing. Someone had a video in reference to me where he did push-ups. He's like, is this going to make my brothers come back? Is this going to make my brothers come back? Is this going to make this happen because of me doing push-ups? And I said, you know, that's the thing in life that we walk away from. Because guess what? You know, when they were pouring water on people's head for AL, or when you walk for cancer, you know, does it stop cancer? Does it stop people from having it? You know, everybody needs a reason and a cause. Yeah. And for somebody to say push-ups is not going to do this, it doesn't matter. But guess what? Push-ups will make you even more healthier, even if it's for the kids. Uh-huh. It will do this. It will do that. So, but the things that are put out there is the things that people try not to see and try to make another statement for, if it's for social media or if it's for something. Me, I have no reason, I have no intent, I have no cause besides my causes. Right. So it is what it is.
Now, I'm curious, Andre, how long does it take you to do 2,222 push-ups?
Hour 15 minutes.
Wow.
And if you see my push-ups, I have to say And, you know, I had to, you know, sometimes it's funny because I have to break down simple knowledge to people. Uh-huh. And they were like, you didn't go all the way up. That's not Army regulations. And I tell them kindly, first off, I'm not in the Army anymore. And second off, if you can do 2,222 push-ups in hour 15 minutes, even by doing them this much, come and talk to me.
All right.
And third off, for my kids, I have to let them know is that if you do 2,222 push-ups every day and you lock your arms out, it's like taking a sledgehammer and hitting on concrete 2,222 times and see what happens to your elbows. Mm-hmm. So for everything you do, you still have to be healthy and safe and care guard yourself, you know? So it's kind of like that whole scenario. Just think for a second before you speak.
Well, Andre, I love the, you know, greater purpose behind why you're doing that and the cause and the platform and the impact you want to have. So thank you.
Thank you.
So tell me what other projects you're working on, what other causes you're passionate about.
Oh, my God. What projects that I'm not passionate about. I'm passionate about anything that has a cause. You know, I told you I just did the Blue Star Families last night, which is a wonderful event. It was absolutely incredible. Last week did the Fisher House, almost $900,000 raised. 2 days later did After School All-Star Kids, which I'm an ambassador for. Love the kids, underprivileged. They give them a new meaning to support, and have raised a lot of money for that. Of course, you know, I've done a USO to VFW. Anything that has a reason behind, a reason to cause behind it. I was just in the ASUS magazine, AUSA magazine. I was just, I'm of course, Health and Fitness. I was Muscle and Fitness magazine this month. Mm-hmm. I'm getting inducted next month to the Bodybuilding Hall of Fame. I've never competed, but it's because of a cause and reason behind it. I'm helping, doing a lot with the VA, trying to get organizations and things contrived for the military, for TWI Training with Industry, so they can own their own businesses or go into the workforces. Yeah. I just spoke to the first SCPS spouses, military spouses. It's about 3,000 to 4,000 spouses, male and female, who I did a virtual Q&A just like this one, yeah. Which was actually wonderful. I asked some great questions, learned a lot of great things. And then, of course, just speaking around in different formats, being keynotes. And I'm fortunate because I get all services that come to me.
Yeah. Well, Andre, did I also hear that you're about to be or working on being an esteemed author as well?
I don't talk about myself. Also, yes, I am. I'm doing that, and also I'm taking my act as a thespian. Right. So I have a couple of TV shows that's working right now. Middle of Nowhere, of course, Jeff in the City. They're prominent. We're working out all the details and trying to get those started. So, and I'm using those because I'm a co-producer. And I involve the military in those because I want to bring a higher light and just have something that has a cause with it.
Right. So, Andre, are you able to give us any sneak preview of what the book's going to be about or any more detail about the shows or more to follow?
I will tell you something. They are incredible. No, you know, it's funny because I actually let out a sneak preview of one of the shows, which is The Middle of Nowhere, which is actually cooking, but it's actually really different, which I know you would love it, team, because aesthetically, we have some guys that's there. For instance, one guy is a deep diver who holds his breath for 9 minutes and 4 seconds. Wow. Next one is, you know, can fly. She flies off her, the wingsuits off of mountains and plains, and husband was tragically killed in one of those ventures. Another one's a rock climber. Then you have me with my Gurkha knife, you know, chopping through eggs. And then my co-host is Aaron Ralston, who James Franco played him in 127 hours.
Okay.
The gentleman who cut off his hand after 127, 5-6 days, with a little pocket knife about this big and dull, really dull,
yeah.
About the size of a toothpick.
Wow.
So it's a pretty, I love adventure. I love crazy. I love different. Both shows are different, but this one is like really different.
Fantastic. Well, cannot wait for them to air and be able to watch them and tune in myself.
Thank you.
So, Andre, you've been a great friend and a big fan and supporter of our business. So with Authentically American, I'm curious your perspective being a great American. So what does it mean to you to be authentically American?
Wow. I am authentically American. That's why I love you to death. Uh-huh. You know, since I first met you, that's why that's why I dropped everything to do this. You know, just because I've seen you in the last year as well, and what you've done and how you represent, you know, authentically American, and it's very humbling, and it makes me very proud to be such. And it makes me proud, you know, to wave and represent us in so many different forms and format and fashions. That is just, I don't even know how to even describe it anymore, because I get so many different feelings, and every time I talk or say something, I get chill bumps, and I think about it, and I think about even looking at you, and I have flashbacks of going back and seeing the evolution of Authentic American, you know, before, you know, you partnered up, and also with myself, and just saw how much we're both doing the same exact thing in the same format, differently, but the same.
Yeah. I think you and I both have a common desire to make a difference, to have a positive impact. Well, exactly. Andre, I know you've got a busy day, and you were gracious to carve out time in the midst of this whirlwind schedule to spend time with us. So I am honored to call you a friend, and so thankful that I was able to spend the time. So one last question. So a lot of our audience here is going to heard of you. They know of you. They already do. But if somebody wants to learn more about you, how do they follow you? How do they keep track of what you're doing?
If they want to, I'm on IG, Instagram, which is Real Chef Rush, R-E-A-L, Chef Rush is one word. And I'm also Twitter, same thing, Real Chef Rush. Facebook and LinkedIn is Andre Rush. I also have a website, chefrush.com. I got my own website, chefrush.com. I get a lot of hits on my website for people to ask me to come and do things. But the one thing about it is I actually run all of my social, and I actually answer each and every one of my DMs myself. And I get a lot, hundreds a day. So that's important to me. But I appreciate you saying that.
Well, Andre, you are a great American. And again, I'm proud to call you a friend. So thank you and all the best to you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
You've been listening to the Authentically American podcast. You can follow Authentically American on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and find all our episodes at authenticallyamerican.us/podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thank you for listening.